Raymond M. Binkowski is not a physician or registered dietitian. The contents of this should not be taken as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any health problem, nor is it intended to replace the advice of a physician. Always consult your physician or qualified health professional on any matters regarding your health. If you're interested in learning more about the content in this podcast, webinar, or episode, click the link in the description or comments to learn more.
We are talking about eating whatever you want today, which I am excited for because I can be a little bit of a junk food dog. I do enjoy dabbling in all kinds of terrible and ridiculous foods. So I think that it would be great for you to start out by talking about some of the popular things that you hear thrown around that all tie into eating what you want. Like, what do you think other people have heard, and start diving into that a little bit?
So what if I told you that the secret to long-term weight loss after 30, after age 40, after age 50, after 60, isn't another fad diet? Like, what if I told you could eat whatever you want, and not only can you lose weight, but you can lose it long-term? Because
you told me too that it has to be sustainable.
Right. So that's the next piece, right? So you can eat the foods you enjoy while losing weight and then maintaining it. The problem that people over the age of 30, and really it's not even an age-related thing. The problem is that everybody tries a new unsustainable approach. Right. We covered the sustainability aspect in a previous podcast, but that really is the number one mistake. Like, just this morning, I watched a lady in an over 40 fitness group on Facebook post how she's lost this much weight over the last like 40 or 50 days. And she's doing the carnivore diet, which at the time we're recording this, a carnivore diet is in vogue. It's one of the trending approaches to drop pounds, drop inches, reduce inflammation, all these wonderful things. But I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I can tell you that we can remove carnivore diet and we could insert whatever the future popular pop culture trending diet is, and it will be the same result. And the same result is, of course, it's going to work if you restrict calories. The problem is it's not going to work long term, so it's going to go back to that sustainability. And really, the mistake people make is that they don't take an approach that you could stick with indefinitely. And the lady that I'd seen post on Facebook, you know, posted, she's super excited, she's motivated. But from experience, I can tell you in a couple months, she's probably not going to want to eat in that manner. And as soon as she returns to her previous habits and lifestyle, those pounds and inches that she got rid of are going to find their way back. So the biggest thing is you have to identify whether or not you're able to stick with it long term. And then when it comes to really being able to break a weight loss plateau, be able to enjoy the foods that you eat, you need to have an idea of how many calories you're eating. And the reason that how many calories you're eating matters is because energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It's what's known as a law of conservation of energy. With our current understanding of physics, we know that to be true. And I say with our current because sometimes science can be redefined. Now, it has to be proven out for it to still be science, but as we currently understand the laws of physics, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. A calorie is a measure of energy. And if you overconsume energy, that extra energy goes somewhere. In humans, that extra energy goes to body fat. So the somewhere the energy goes is fat. So the approach needs to be sustainable. You need to be able to eat the foods you enjoy, but you have to have an understanding of how much of the food you enjoy you should actually be eating.
So one thing that I saw not too long ago that made me laugh was, and I have no idea how popular this woman actually is or how many people follow what she's saying, but she had lost all of this weight by basically eating the foods that she wanted. Like the example that she gives is this little like chicken tender basket from Popeyes, and she adds different things to it. She kind of messes with it, but then she's like, I ate things like this and more, and I lost weight, and stuff like that. And all these people wanted to learn how she was doing it. And basically, her whole thing was just know your calories and know the number that you're going to stay under. Is that the kind of thing that you believe in? Like, how do you help someone put that actually into practice on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so good question. And yes, somebody can go to a fast food place and eat fried chicken tenders, fried chicken nuggets, whatever they might be called, and lose weight. And they can do that every day. And the reason that that's possible is because they stay under the number of calories that would put them into a caloric surplus. So as long as you don't consume more than you spend, calorically, that's going to be true. So yes, you can do that. But for most people, they come up short when you look at how many calories are they eating. Many people really don't have an idea of how many calories they even consume on a daily basis. So one day it might be 1900, the next day it might be 1300, the following day 2730 calories. So they not only do, they don't know how many calories they're eating, and the number fluctuates. It goes all over the board from one day to the next. So there's no consistency.
So, what do you recommend for someone that does want to start to track it? How do you help your clients do that?
Well, and we can take apart the tracking thing, but before we do that, let's talk about not tracking. And it's interesting. Like growing up, I was heavy or overweight or fat off and on from the time I was a little kid. Like I remember going to, I think it was Sears with my mom to buy jeans. And I remember we walked into the boys section and I saw the jeans racks and I walked up to them. And my mom's like, "Oh, we can't get your jeans there. You got to come over here." And I'm like, "Well, why do I have to go over here?" And she's like, "Cause this is the husky section and you don't fit in those other ones." And that was true. Like I wore the boys' husky sized jeans. And that, like, for some people that have struggled off and on with weight, if we start putting them into a box and if we start giving them a bunch of numbers, not only are they overwhelmed, but those restrictions become something they obsess about. And then they'll start to struggle because they'll constantly be obsessed over food. Comparing and contrasting me shopping in the Husky section for jeans, there were plenty of people that were my age, friends, classmates, that bought jeans off the rack in the regular boys section. In addition to that, there were plenty of people looking back that I know that were not overweight, and I never heard them, like friends' parents, I never heard them talk about dieting or watching what they ate or anything like that. Some of these people just seemed to eat whatever foods and they were always fit and healthy. And that stands out to me because, as I look back, I remember some of those people from my old neighborhood that were like that. And I remember one individual in particular that would have, like, today he would be about 80 years of age. So if I go back to the 80s, I go back to the 90s, he was middle-aged and he lifted weights and he'd been lifting. It was a friend of mine's father. He'd been lifting weights since like the 60s. And I remember watching the amount of food that he could eat at dinner. Like he would have like two steaks. They were Italian, so there's always some type of pasta at dinner. He would have pasta. There'd be a starch, what we used to call a starch. So there'd be like a potato. There'd be bread. There'd be whatever. There'd be milk. And he would eat all this food and he never struggled with weight and he never talked about it. And things he was doing that most other people weren't doing, especially going back to the 60s, maybe a little in the 70s, more so in the 80s and then the 90s, and then certainly today, is he was weight training. And like I'm sharing that story because I can list numerous people like that that have never really, quote unquote, watched what they ate, tracked or counted anything, yet they've always been lean and healthy. And the answer is why. And it's like, well, they have an ability to manage the amount of calories they're eating. Plus, they're doing the things that will maintain a healthy, strong metabolism as you age, which is weight training. And the other thing that they are not doing is they're never looking at something and saying, I can't have that. They're never looking at something saying, oh, I really want to eat that, but then I'm going to feel guilty tomorrow, or I'll feel so guilty after I have that. They don't do those things. So I think there's a certain number of people that do better if you don't give them a bunch of restrictions. And if I look at people that I've watched over the last 3 or 4 decades, the ones that have been super successful, they don't really track, right? They have this intuitive way to eat enough, never too much, and they don't place restrictions on themselves that make them feel guilty over what they did or didn't eat later.
I think that too, you know, especially as a female and having been around a lot of different communities and even just groups or friends that have struggled with eating disorders, or maybe you're a perfectionist, or maybe you really enjoy food and having to track it constantly just takes some of that joy away even, you know. But I would even list something like food tracking as being something that's unsustainable, quite frankly.
It is. And there again, back to that sustainability. And that's why I shared that long story, because again, sustainability needs to be taken into account. And when I look back over the decades, okay, over the decades at people that have just naturally seemed to be good at, like, quote unquote, good at this type stuff, they didn't track. They don't track. And they don't put those restrictions on themselves, and they never feel guilty about what they did or didn't eat. And that's important. And this played a role in part back in 2003 when I wrote my first book, Eat by Color. I wrote the book. I had some young Marine Corps officers coming back from war in the Middle East. And I was programming for them workouts. I was helping them with food. And I had a really bright young lieutenant tell me on a naval ship coming back to the United States, take everything you sent me and dumb it down. And I sat there, and I've shared this story many times before, but I sat there and I looked at the email he sent me from a boat, no less, right? And I'm like, my goodness, he's college educated. He's an officer in the Marine Corps. He's coming back from war, from armed conflict. He's a smart individual. He's a capable individual. And if he doesn't understand what I'm trying to teach him and share with him, how many other people don't? And that's where I got the idea for my first book, Eat by Color. And along with that, I also knew that I didn't want certain people fixated and obsessed on food numbers, because I had done that in the 90s when I was trying to lose weight. It's not a healthy habit. And to your point, it's not sustainable. And then we had another curveball in 2003. And I always say things were a lot different then, and they were. We didn't have all these free nutrition trackers as mobile applications, or what we call apps on our iPhones and Android devices. If you wanted to look up the calories in a food, you had to go to a bookstore, and typically a bookstore in a large urban market that would actually have a book that listed the caloric content of foods. Otherwise, that data wasn't available, and there was no way for somebody to easily search and figure out what they could or couldn't eat. So Eat by Color allowed me to provide a simple way to teach people how to make food choice, better food choices in line with their goals. It also provided a simple way to prevent me from having to give people their numbers so that they couldn't obsess and fixate on what they did or didn't eat, or the amounts, or panic, or anything that goes with that for certain individuals. And then the other thing that the Eat by Color solved, and I had clients that I would help them with their food, and then they'd go out to dinner and they would call me and they would say, I'm out to dinner, I don't know what to eat. Well, with Eat by Color, it has a built-in way to teach people how to eat what they want, literally any of the foods they want, and then make substitutions. and still be able to enjoy the foods they like without feeling guilty while continuing to move towards their goals.
So how does Eat by Color work? How do you help people make choices in any situation, out to eat at a restaurant, at home? How does it work?
It's quite literally for individuals that have done children's paint by number. I color coded the food groups. So carbs, proteins, fats are color coded, and you literally just match your fist. So that's how we portion control. We use an individual's fist, and then they match it, with a corresponding color of one of the food groups. So, for example, there is a green group, and those are leafy vegetables you can grow in your garden for the typical garden. So, like if you live out in the Midwest and you live on a potato farm, that I'm not saying potatoes, but like what most people could grow at home in a garden, not if you're a farmer, but what you can grow in a garden, you can eat all you want of. So you can have unlimited of the green group. The red group are what we would recognize as carbohydrates. They would be what used to be called complex carbs and starches and fruits, all that stuff. You can have your fist size serving 2 or 3 times a day as something from the red group. The blue group's protein, you can have your fist size of something from the blue group 6 times a day. And then your fats, which are the purple group, we actually put a number on. It's probably going to be around 40 to 60 grams a day. And fats are going to be things like your olive oil, flax seed, chia seeds. It could be fish oils, and it could be the fat that's going to come from any animal-based proteins. And in doing that, you can mix and match. You can have whatever you want. It removes the obsession over numbers. It gives you the flexibility where you can go out to eat and not sweat it, because you can work any and any everything in, and it works. It works. I mean, I've used versions of it since before 2000. And well, I labeled it Eat by Color in 2003 and wrote a book, but I've used it for over 20 years with great success.
So for your listener, when you say something like even the protein group, then is that something where I could have a beautiful cut of steak or fried chicken tenders? Like you say, as long as you're within that ballpark, it doesn't matter.
Yes. So now the fried chicken tenders are going to have fat, and that's going to play into that purple group. And this isn't a perfect system, but what it is it's a long-term, maintainable, sustainable way to eat that will allow you to enjoy the foods that you enjoy without having to put restrictions on yourself and without having to track back to sustainability and obsess over numbers. It gets old tracking long-term. I don't track my numbers anymore. Like I, unfortunately, because I got started in this at a time before I could take my cell phone and scan a barcode and see the nutrition information for that food, I had to go and read labels on everything. And because of that, I have a pretty good idea, definitely better than most, what is going to be in a particular food item, but I don't regularly track. And again, part of that not regularly tracking can play a role in being successful long term.
So do you provide recipes with things like that as well? What else comes with something like the Eat by Color program?
Well, Eat by Color is going to teach, it's really going to give you the nuts and bolts on how to eat better. It's not so much going to give you just the recipes. Or just here's what to eat. And by design, when I wrote the book, I didn't do that. And the reason I didn't do that is because what if the person reading it doesn't like any of the foods in the book? So now I gave them these meal ideas and I took the time to create recipes, but they don't like they don't like that. They're not going to eat it. Why I didn't help them. Another example, at the time that I wrote Eat by Color, I didn't eat avocado. So avocado is not mentioned in the book. And that's selfishly because I didn't eat it. Sure, it's a fat, but I didn't care at that point in time. Who eats avocados? I don't. So it didn't show up in the book.
You do strike me as an avocado lover, though, just so you
Well,
know.
today, yeah. I mean, you have to have one to know whether or not you actually like it or not. So I clearly was making decisions based upon never having had an avocado. And I'm pretty sure at the time that I wrote the book, I probably had not ever had avocado and not ever had guacamole, which, if you don't know, is made from avocados.
Here's your fun fact for the day.
Yes,
That's how we win Jeopardy.
It is. Like I had people ask, avocados aren't in here. I'm like, I know, I don't eat them. Like I literally would tell people that, and they'd be like, well, I do. Where do they fit? They'd be in the purple. And I think carrots in the first print version of the book, carrots may not show up either, because for whatever reason, carrots were outside the margins, and when the book got cropped to go to print, they got lopped off the side of the, like literally cut off the side of the page or
No.
something. Yeah, I think it's carrots. Carrots don't show up in there either. So
I feel like carrots are such an innocent bystander too. They didn't deserve that. So
yeah, they got cut right off. But
feel like a very
the goal of Eat
peaceful.
by Color was to give people basic tools to make better food choices for the rest of their life. And interestingly enough, I had had a hairstylist. I was getting a haircut one time, and she had told me that their salon was having a weight loss contest, and there was money. There was like a couple $100 or something to win. She was pretty excited. She was double excited because she knew who I was and she knew I was sitting in her chair. And she kind of looked at it, I think, like I got this guy for like 20 or 30 minutes and he knows a lot about this stuff. So he's going to give me the play by play and the action plan so I can go win this contest and collect a few $100. So she said, what would you recommend? What I said, do you have a pen and paper? And she's like, well, yeah, we got some post-it notes and here's a pen. So I wrote out I think it's first page of Appendix A of the print version of Eat by Color on a post-it note. And I said, here, just do this. And she's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, if you do this, you'll probably win. So a couple months later or whatever, I went in to get my hair cut. She was there. She cut my hair. And I said, well, how'd it go with that contest? She's like, oh, I lost like 40 pounds and I won. I'm like, well, what'd you do? She's like, I did what you wrote on that post-it note. So again, if it's going to be successful, it has to be simple. It has to be simple. And
I
if
like
it's
that.
simple, you can stick with it. If we make it overly complicated, people are going to start to struggle. And that's where they start making mistakes and they get frustrated and they say, forget it, I quit.
So how does something like alcohol fit into that? Like, do the sugars change anything for you at all? How do you approach that with clients? How do you navigate that?
So the alcohol I would place that in the you can have it occasionally. And then if we compare Eat by Color, now there are, so that's the easiest no tracking way to make better food choices. Now, if you want to talk tracking and you want to talk recording calories and what most people would call macros, so your carbohydrates, your protein, and your fats for a day, we would have that baseline calorie number. We would set your protein at like 1 gram per pound of total body weight. So not 1 gram per kilo, 1 gram per pound body weight. Fat's going to be in that 40 to 60 grams a day, and carbohydrates will be the rest. If we're going that route, then we would track that alcohol. And that alcohol would need to fit within those four parameters: calories, carbs, protein, and fat. Now, in fairness, alcohol is not a macronutrient in the sense that alcohol is alcohol. It is not a carbohydrate. It's not protein. It's not fat. It's alcohol. And whereas carbohydrates have 4 calories per gram, protein has 4 calories per gram, fat has 9 calories per gram, alcohol has 7. So that is going to factor into your calorie numbers for the day. But again, if somebody likes to, I'll give you an example. We had members of my gym, and this was crazy. So the husband comes up to me one day and says, "Hey, my wife and I's wedding anniversary is coming up, and I got to do the math on it. It probably would have been their 20th wedding anniversary, maybe 25th. I think 20." He says, "Our 20th wedding anniversary, my wife and I are going on vacation. They're going somewhere hot and sunny. This like it was going to be in the winter in the Midwest, so they're getting out of the cold, dreary, winter temperatures. They're going someplace warm and sunny." So, and he tells me this. I'm like, that's great. And he goes, "I want my wife to wear a bikini." I'm like, "That's great, but what does your wife want?" Right? Like, that's a good way to get yourself in a lot of trouble. And he's like, "Well, I'm gonna tell her that she comes needs to come see you." And I'm like, "Well, it typically doesn't work that way, but you can go ahead and give it the old college try and tell her you want her to wear a bikini on this vacation, go see Ray at the gym." So
Sounds like
she
a
came
death
in.
wish to me, but
Well, and it wasn't, because I'll be damned. She called, made an appointment, showed up in my office. So she tells me, "We're going, it's our wedding anniversary. We're going someplace warm. He wants me to wear a bikini, but in all fairness, I would really like to be comfortable wearing a bikini in public on a beach again as well." And I'm like, "All right, well, that's cool. That's reasonable. I thought you were going to tell me that you politely came in to tell me that you're going to go home and kill him, right?" Instead, she was on board. And I said, "All right." And she said, "What do I need to do?" So I told her, I'm like, "You need to do these workouts 3 days a week for an hour. And that hour would include cardio and your weight training." Like, literally in the Eat by Color book, the end of the book, I think it's appendix two, there's a workout section, super simple workout section. I said, "You need to do that. And I recommend you hiring our trainers to do that with them, because our trainers are going to make sure you come in and actually do the workouts." And she had mentioned she struggled with consistently coming to the gym. So that trainer piece was going to provide that accountability and consistency. And then just do the Eat by Color program. It's easy. And she's like, "Well, all right, what about drinks?" And, "What do you mean, what about drinks?" She's like, "Well, I like to have a couple of glasses of wine a few nights a week, or a couple of mixed drinks a few days a week. And then we typically go out to dinner. I have drinks at least one day on the weekend." And I'm like, "All right, well, you can do it." And she was shocked. She's like, "Seriously?" I'm like, "Yeah, you can totally go and do that." I said, "However, you have to follow the Eat by Color parameters the rest of the time. And then you got to do the workouts." So fast forward about 10, 11 weeks, she'd done everything we said. She continued to have her drinks during the week, the glass of wine, the mixed drinks on the weekend after dinner, out to eat at a restaurant. So was still having the drinks, was still going out to dinner. We were like 10 or 11 weeks into her programming, getting close to going on vacation, and she dropped. And I would have to see if I have the data, but she dropped significant pounds, significant inches, and reported that she was already comfortable wearing a bikini, even out in public. So hang on a second, Kelsey. My dog's barking. Can you hear the dog barking? No? I'm gonna go put her in the mudroom.
I need it. Oh. Know where my water is. Ugh.
You have a sink,
Sorry.
don't you?
Well, I have my electrolytes in it. I don't know.
In the
Doesn't
car?
matter. Probably. Which is not good. I keep trying to mute myself in between for the birds.
Oh, I could hear the birds earlier. That's fine. Don't sweat
I
it.
keep muting it in between. That's why I'm a little bit delayed because I'm trying to keep it quiet.
No worries.
So one thing that keeps ringing through my head now are the thousands of different versions of this conversation that I've had over the years. And it's things like, red dyes in your foods. It's processed anything, I think that's where you see a lot of argument too. Like a calorie can't just be a calorie when you're talking about a potato chip calorie versus raw broccoli, things like that. So dig into that a little bit. Like, how does that all break down in terms of how an individual body processes different things, your GI health versus the calorie is a calorie conversation? Like, how does all that come into this?
So if we look at calories from the standpoint of science, a calorie is a unit of measure. That's it. Now, in terms of a potato chip versus broccoli, 100 calories of potato chips versus 100 calories of broccoli will present two different volumes of food. So 100 calories of potato chips will be very little food. It won't be a lot of food. Whereas 100 calories of broccoli will be much more. So the potato chip would be calorically dense. So you won't have many chips to equate to 100 calories. When it comes to broccoli, you'll have a lot more broccoli that will equate to 100 calories. When I wrote my last book, which is a cookbook, which is a meal planning and meal prep book, when I was putting the recipes together and laying out the text of the book, it really reminded me of what I'd forgotten, which is just how many more vegetables you can eat calorically compared to, like, for example, the potato chips, right? Like, it's not many potato chips to get to 100 calories, but it's quite a bit of vegetables to get to 100 calories, right? So it really, the big difference there is the volume of food. There's a lot more broccoli in 100 calories than there is potato chips. So that's the first thing. In calories do matter. In calories, a calorie is a calorie. It is a unit of energy. Now, that being said, where those calories come from in regards to calorie or carbohydrates, proteins, and fats can make a difference. And if it didn't make a difference, I wouldn't have said if you're going to track macros that you should shoot for 1 gram of protein per pound body weight. Otherwise, we just say the calorie number and we'd leave it at that. Carbohydrates can elevate blood sugar faster and to a greater extent than calories from proteins and fat. That is for sure. But if you were to ask like the hierarchy of what's important for long-term fat loss, fat maintenance, weight maintenance, lean body mass, whatever we want to call it, it's really going to be calories first, an adequate amount of protein, and then carbohydrates and fats. And it's not going to matter as much where they come from. Now, we can have a conversation about processed food, and we can have a conversation of whether or not that's healthy. And we can have a conversation about are there things in our foods today that are not healthy? Are there things in our foods today that shouldn't be in there? Are there things in our foods fill in the blank? And the answer to every one of those is absolutely. There's no question some of the dyes we shouldn't be consuming. There is research that says that. Why are they in our food? Money. Money. I mean, it's that easy. I've had this argument with people about processed food and losing fat. Like you're never gonna get lean eating that. Well, sure you are. I mean, you have to manage the calories. It's not the type of food, it's the calories. You want to have a separate conversation about processed foods being healthier than something that is, than broccoli. It's just broccoli. What's in broccoli? Broccoli. That's it. Sure, there's vitamins and minerals, but there's nothing else. If you pick up any product you buy in a store, unless it's like fresh fruit, there's other stuff in there. Pick up a bag of chicken breasts. With saline solute, salt solution, saline solution, and rib meat. Where the hell did the rib meat come from in the chicken breast? Right? So there's a difference with the processed food. That like about one of the only exceptions to something you buy in a container at the grocery store, sour cream. If you pick up regular sour cream and read the ingredients label, the ingredients are sour cream, nothing else. But we can have a conversation about that, processed, man-made, manufactured food, and whether or not it's healthy, whether or not it's safe. Sure, we can have that conversation. But if you're talking just weight loss, it's not going to be processed versus the other food, as evident by the lady you started the conversation off that was having the chicken tenders or chicken nuggets from a fast food chain and losing weight, right? She proved the point.
So, like, one of the biggest things that I think I deal with personally is, and I don't know how many people you talk to that are similar, but I think I do a decent job of being, of having very nutritious meals, very well-rounded. I'm not a picky eater at all. You know, we're constantly doing different things, but I really struggle getting enough protein in all the time. Is that the most popular thing that you hear all the time? And how do you help those that do come to you like that address that?
Yeah, protein is probably the first struggle everybody has when they try and get started. Even if they're just following the eat by color, where you're not trying to hit a gram target of protein, right? It says your fist size serving of the blue group. And now for a fist size serving of like a protein powder, it'd be 2 scoops of protein powder, which typically, depending on brand, will be around 40 grams. But protein is that for it's the first hurdle. And a lot of people from experience, a lot of people are probably getting 40 to 50% of the amount of protein they should be getting every day. And when we have a conversation about protein and they're only eating half of what they should be, and you tell them they have to double it, it's overwhelming. They're like, whew, wait, what? I thought I was, and then often it gets worse because they're like, well, I thought I was doing really good. Like, I'm actually trying to get more protein because I've heard I need more. And you're saying I need to get double? That's a pretty, it's overwhelming. It's daunting. And I'll give you a personal story. So back in 1996, I'm working as an engineer and I'm making really good money. And I'm young. I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage. So I got money to burn, literally. So I happened to go to the mall one day and I bought a pair of Oakley sunglasses at a sunglass hut and paid full on retail. Now this is like 1996. I paid like $300, $250, $300 for a pair of Oakleys. It's craziness, right? And then I stopped in a GNC and I was early in my weight loss, figure out what works journey. I stopped in a GNC. And I start talking to a guy who tells me he's the manager. And he's asking how much protein I use. And I have no idea what's a protein. Like what I did. I don't know. You tell me what where's this protein? Where do I get it? So I tell him what I eat. And he's like, you don't get enough protein. I'm like, all right. He's like, you need to buy some protein. I got money to burn. So I'm like, all right, I'll take two of these protein things. He's like, what about creatine? I'm like, I don't know anything about a creatine. What's a creatine? He's like, well, I got a protein that's got creatine in it. I'm like, all right, give me two of those. So I buy two Pro Performance or whatever the GNC house brand was, tubs of protein with creatine in it. Okay. And I bring it home and I start having my protein. And back then, there weren't shaker bottles, there weren't blender bottles. I went to my parents' house and I stole my mom's Tupperware gravy shaker. And that's what I was going to use. Well, gravy shakers were, I don't know what they were, like 12, 14, 16 ounces. You can't get enough fluid in there to shake up a protein. It's like mixing concrete. So I realized that wasn't going to work and ended up making the shake in two parts, one scoop water, and then mix them together. So I can mix it, whatever. So I take my protein with creatine, and I remember at the gym, I was using a cable preacher curl machine. Now, which I would never use a cable preacher curl machine today. Not in the last 20 some years would I do that. But that's what one of the things that was in the gym, and I knew how to use it, and I used it. And I remember within like a week of taking this stuff, I was doing the entire stack on the machine. Now, how much weight was on the stack was irrelevant. Was it like a 300-pound weight stack? Probably not. At the end of the day, what matters is I was hard at that machine for a while and had never been able to do all the weight. Yet, thanks to my protein plus creatine, there I was. So I finished my second tub. I need to buy more. It's the weekend. I'm not by the by the GNC. By my place of employment. I'm not driving all the way to where I work to go to the same store. I go to the local store. I grab my two things of protein and creatine, same stuff I bought at the other place. The guy working happens to be the manager again. He starts talking to me. I said, "Yeah, your manager at this other store, the other one over there, he told me to buy this. He said if I didn't like it, I could bring the empty containers back. I get my money back." And he showed me it's right on the back of the receipt papers. And he said, "Yeah, that's true." I said, "So I'm buying the same stuff." He said, "Oh, that's good." So he starts asking me about what I eat. And I tell him, and he's like, "Well, you're not getting enough protein." And I'm looking at my two like $90 tubs of protein. So you do the math, even though I cashed the burn, it's the mid 90s. You know, $180 on protein is a lot of money. And he's telling me that I'm not getting enough. And I'm looking at these two tubs that, you know, like I just went through two of these tubs and you're telling me I'm still not getting enough protein. And at that time, with my added protein plus creatine shakes, I was probably at about 60 to 70% of the protein I should get every day. And this guy was the first one that was telling me like how much I should get. The other manager didn't tell me I should get this much a day. So he's telling me, and I'm like, "Oh, there's no way." I'm like, "You know what? Forget it." And he's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I'm not even gonna buy this. I'm not gonna bother because I'm never gonna get enough protein." And I left. And that's my firsthand experience. And that was me. And that's a lot of people. That's how overwhelming it is. You know, especially when I can tell you, having done this for over 20 years, most people are probably at 40 or 50% of the protein they should get. So that's a big obstacle, and it's big enough because I experienced it. I said, "No, thank you. I'm not going to buy this stuff." And I turned around and walked out. And it was a long time before I went and bought protein again because I looked at it and said, "There's no point. I'm never going to get the amount that I need," because I didn't know what foods had protein. And that's, you know, in Eat by Color, there's a list and it's easy. And it also says if it was flying, walking, or swimming, it's protein. It should be on your plate 6 times a day. Now, for plant-based, vegan, vegetarian, all types of plant-based in between, for you, it's going to be plant-based protein sources. And you're going to have to learn that. Like, you're going to have to learn what has protein. You're going to have to learn, does steak have protein? Back in the day, I didn't know. What about chicken? What about eggs? What about fish? What about soybeans? And again, if we look at animal proteins, it's easy. If it was walking, flying, or swimming, it's got protein and fat.
And you're welcome.
You are.
So, how does your approach shift when a client of yours has more of a performance goal? Like maybe they're prepping for a powerlifting meet, a physique show, something like that. How does that shift?
So we need to compare and contrast the individuals. When we're looking at that happy, healthy, well, drop pounds and inches, and like Amy that I mentioned with the wedding anniversary, the vacation, the beach, the bikini, if you're just looking to be healthier and look better in a bathing suit, that Eat by Color is it's gonna get you there and it's gonna keep you there. When we start looking at events, contests, competitions, maximum performance, we need to remember we are often talking a shorter term goal. Whereas with that eat by color, look good in a bathing suit, go on vacation, wedding anniversary, we want something we can do and maintain long term. Like I had said, those individuals that aren't making the popular mistakes that I remember over the decades that were always fit and healthy, that's a long term thing. But often when we put a date on the calendar, when we draw that line in the sand and we start looking at maximum performance, that conversation does shift to a little bit of a shorter term program and plan. Now, that being said, whenever we draw a line on the sand and we put a date on the calendar, nobody wants to get to that event. Nobody wants to get to that day and feel amazing, look amazing, be able, you know, have maximized their performance in their sport. Maybe it's they set a record and they PR'd their marathon or their half marathon or their 5K or their 10K, or maybe it's a tactical games and they won, or it's a CrossFit contest, or it's a cycling event, or like your kids race BMX, or it's a BMX race, or it's a BMX season, or it's one of my kids and it's a motocross season. Like there's a date on the calendar, there's a line in the sand, and after that, things are done. If we've done things correctly, we've done things correctly on that date on the calendar, the day of the contest, I liken it to climbing a 10-story building. You're on the 10th floor. If we've done things correctly, where you were a couple weeks prior, which we would say, let's say you're on the 7th or 8th floor, if we've done things correctly, you can stay there indefinitely with one of those eat by color type approaches. But when we look at maximum performance, we're starting to talk more of a short-term thing where we're gonna reach for the moon on one date and time out in the future. But we're not expecting and we're not planning to stay there. But if we did things right, we'll be able to stay pretty close.
So give me one more snapshot of why you can eat anything that you want within reason and how Eat by Color fits into all of that.
Yeah. So if you want to eat anything you want and lose weight and you don't want to feel like you're restricting yourself, you don't want to be saying no all the time, it's going to come down to calories, total calories in 24 hours. And Eat by Color in real, as easy as children's paint by number, is going to give you a simple way to manage the total calories you eat within 24 hours. Now, mind you, I didn't tell you what food you can eat. I didn't tell you what food you cannot eat. I didn't say you must do this, must not do that. I didn't put you in a box and close the lid, in which case you're gonna try like hell to get out of the box. I didn't give you a bunch of numbers where you're going to feel guilty if you go over on them. So Eat by Color is going to help you manage your total calories and allow you to eat whatever food you want without having to track, score, record, or anything else.
Any other big tools that you would want someone to have moving forward, or just final notes or messages?
Yeah. So on the performance side of things, if you want to drop maximum body fat, we are going to track, we are going to record things. And when we like with Eat by Color, I'll get this question from clients. They like, you really can, if it's grown in your garden, if it's spinach, asparagus, green beans, wax beans, red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper, radishes, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, carrots, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. And I can keep going with those type things, right? You can have all of that you want and it won't matter. Now, if you go the route where you're tracking things, we are going to start to record some of those foods. And we are going to have a specific calorie target to hit. And we're going to have a number and we're going to track and record. And we're going to have a number for protein to hit. And we're going to have a number to hit for carbs and one to hit for fat. You're still going to be able to eat whatever you want. It's still going to have incredible flexibility. You're still going to be free from a list of quote unquote bad foods and things that if you eat are going to make you feel guilty. Like if you want to have a piece of chocolate cake, log it, eat it, and don't worry about it. It's not going to matter. But you are going to do more tracking, and that is going to give you the maximum benefit that you can possibly get from food relative to your goal and that date on the calendar that you want to accomplish the goal.
I think that all sounds perfect. And as always, I appreciate you, especially for making space for people like me that sometimes need Oreos at 10 a.m. So I appreciate you, Ray.
Yeah, and I didn't make this space for Oreos. It's not my rules. It's just if you know how the rules work, you can use them to your benefit, and you can then have Oreos at 10 a.m.
Perfect. I'm in. Thank
Cool.
you.
If you like our content, be sure to subscribe to our channel. Leave us a comment below. Also, be sure to check us out on your favorite podcast provider. See the links in the description below.